Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air. Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Here are your hosts, Julia Fellow, and in for John McCure, it's Toya Washington.
Busy past 2 hours, Toya.
It really has. Has it been 2 hours already?
It has.
Time flies when you're having fun and learning.
We are. We're learning a lot.
Yes, and with you. I always have a blast, so thank you very much.
At 5:08, okay, coming up in the next hour, Milwaukee's new head of Office of Community Wellness and Safety will meet with the public, and WTMJ's Adam Roberts plans to be there. Adam, give us the preview.
So we, Toya and Julia, remember that back in August, Adam Purcell was announced by Mayor Cavalier Johnson as the new head of the Office of Community Wellness and Safety, or if you don't recognize that name, you know it as the Office of Violence Prevention previously. Now, Purcell's appointment was a bit of an eyebrow raiser when his name was announced. You may recall, he was not one of the three finalists that was originally being considered for this position, but the mayor went before the media at the press conference and said, "I've made my choice," and it is the CEO of Paradigm Shift, Adam Purcell. But the headline grabber for Mr. Purcell that everyone stuck to on his announcement was the fact that he is a convicted felon. He was convicted for the murder of 18-year-old Robert Bruce as a part of a gang violence incident in 1995, served his time in prison, was released in 2018, and now he leads the Office of Community Wellness and Safety. And he acknowledged from the onset that that's going to catch the headlines and that the transition period for this troubled office is going to be uncomfortable.
3 days after I turned 15 years old, I made the worst decision a human could make, and that decision cost Robert his life. Now I would serve a quarter century in prison for that decision. I lead with that because I can't ask Milwaukee to lean into uncomfortability if I don't take that first step.
That's an interesting perspective there. I mean, I guess a lived experience that perhaps can shape the way you lead.
Perhaps. Now, what I'm going to be interested tonight when I'm at this event, because if you've been to a town hall, and you both have been to several over your career, it's a lot. They vary a little bit, but usually you just lay it bare. I'm here to answer your questions, and then people get up and they speak what's on their mind. What I'm curious to see is how much that fact that he is a convicted murderer plays into the conversation tonight. I'm also curious to see how he will lay on his emphasis for the position, because he wants to focus on disenfranchised youth in our city, specifically those in age 16 to young adult, like about 24 years old. He actually was at the Public Safety and Health Committee meeting earlier today, kind of laying out what he wants to see in that regard.
We need to find a way to get the youth in this age range employed, because until we do that, people, at the end of the day, they want money. And if they can't get money, they're going to go get money in some way. So we need to find ways to proactively get these individuals hired.
So his emphasis there is like, hey, these kids are engaging in criminal acts, if they are, because they're seeking money in his eyes. And you give a kid a job, they're more or less likely to engage in criminal activity.
So according to court records, he was involved in the gang when that murder took place. And he was convicted of murder, served his time, but also, something that Tory Lowe brought up, he's with 101.7 The Truth, the Tory Lowe show from 1 to 4, and he's been embedded in the community, is that Tory says that Purcell, he came here when he was 14 to Milwaukee, was only here for a few months, and then that murder happened. So how much does he really,
even know about
Milwaukee?
Valid.
And that's what, and especially if you do this town hall, which is at the Washington Park Senior Center, there are a lot of people who've lived in that neighborhood their whole life, and their parents lived here, and that's kind of how Milwaukee operates. It's sort of, well, do you represent me and the people in my immediate area? That could come up tonight as well.
And I don't know how much he makes now, but the last person in their position, I
Ashanti
think it was
Hamilton?
In 2023, yes. He made $103,000 a year. So that was another question that Tory Lowe had. A convicted murderer who's not really from, I guess, didn't grow up here. He was put behind bars when he was starting at 15 years old. And then he served his time. He did serve his time. But he is now making more than $100,000 a year for making the city better. And so there's just a lot of questions around that. So I think people probably ask about his salary, too.
And my question as a reporter, when I'll speak with him later tonight, is just because we recognize that this office, whether it was violence prevention or wellness and safety now, has been subject to increased scrutiny. A lot of the questions are, does this office do what its mission statement says it's supposed to do? And depending on the year, sometimes it feels like crime's up, then it goes down, then it spikes up again. So are you actually preventing the violence you say you're preventing?
No kidding.
So that will be one of my questions. Are you prepared to handle the scrutiny because the last member who was in your seat resigned earlier this year?
So much scrutiny that it was called the Department of Domestic Violence and Prevention. And now what is it called?
The Office of Community Wellness and Safety.
Yeah. We're going to keep a close eye on this. Adam, I'm so glad you're going. Like, literally right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm out the door right
he
now.
He is. Adam Roberts, thank you so much. It's WTMJ.
You bet.
Wisconsin's Afternoon News podcast is sponsored by Dave Draycamp Heating. Your comfort is their family's tradition. Visit DaveDraycamp.com. He is the national political correspondent for Scripps News and the chief political reporter for TMJ4 News. And he's the best. Veteran reporter.
Great to be with
future
you.
Future governor.
Toya in the house.
Future
as well.
Governor.
Yeah. Charles Benson.
No, there's no future office for me.
Okay.
Home office. Future home office.
Totally. Yeah. Okay. You have been digging into something that I find so interesting. The agreement between ICE and a local Southeast Wisconsin county.
Yeah, let's step back a little bit. You know, last week we had in the news with Manitowoc County, there were a number of arrests there. The FBI talked about ICE arrests. And so we were learning more about this, for lack of a better word, collaboration between Manitowoc and ICE, and the FBI was talking about this. And so we went and looked, this up. There are a number of counties in our region, in our state, that have what are known as, in the technical term, they're like these 287G agreements with the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And some of these counties have made these agreements dating back as Fargo as 2020. So let me list, and it's going to be a little methodical here, you know, kind of breaking it down. So I want to give you the sense of the wide range of counties that have these agreements. And we'll talk more about what's in these agreements. And these are Sheriff's Office, Brown County, Calumet County, Fond du Lac County, Kewaunee County, Manitowoc County, which we just mentioned with the rest there last week, Marquette County, Outagamie County. I'm not going to go through all counties. We have 72 of them, but there are 13 in this. Sheboygan County, Washington County, Waukesha County, Washara County, Winnebago County, and Wood County. And then the only municipality that has one of these agreements is the Palmyra Police Department. It's a fairly new one. They just signed this agreement about a couple of weeks ago. And so that's what we are dealing with here. And now I hold in my hand what are known as these memorandums of agreements. And they're about a 10-page document where the sheriff, this is the one from Washington County. I was just out there talking with the Washington County sheriff. And there are three different levels of agreement. The ones I just read you are mostly in what are known as the warrant service officer. All right. So this allows Washington County to serve and execute administrative warrants in their jail. So if someone has been arrested in the community and it is learned that that person is not
in jail.
Yeah. And then is in their jail. So they've been arrested. Okay. They come into the jail. They're doing all the processing and they learn that that person is not in the country legally. That's where this process begins for Washington County.
I thought that would already be in place.
So it had been in place for more than a decade, the sheriff tells me. And these are new agreements that came under the Trump administration in Trump 1, and now this is under Trump 2. In fact, the Washington County Sheriff's Office just signed this agreement back in February. And so you're saying, well, what does it do? Well, I talked to you about the main part, which is to serve and execute administrative warrants within their jail. But these agreements talk about the purpose of the plan, responsibilities, the training of it, the tests that the sheriff's deputies have to pass. So in the best term to use here, this is a collaboration between the sheriff's department and the Department of Homeland Security with ICE, that if there's someone in their jail, it's not like, let's go out and let's see who we can find. It's who's in their jail that this process takes place.
Okay, level two and level three.
So, different levels. The jail enforcement is another model, and it's more around, I'm told, the identifying and the processing of the ICE with ICE and deportation. But the task force model is what I see as the highest level. And this is what they call a force multiplier to enforce limited immigration authority with ICE oversight during routine police duty. So that's outside when they're out doing their jobs. And that's with there's only one municipality and one law enforcement agency in the state that has that level of collaboration. And they just signed that agreement I talked about a couple of weeks ago. Palmyra Municipality, Municipal Police, that's in Jefferson County. So I haven't had a chance to talk to them about what that looks like and what they plan to do there. But in my conversation with the Washington County Sheriff, Marty Schultheis, he believes that this agreement puts in writing what they have been doing.
Guidelines.
Mm-hmm. For what? And there's, as he says, there is a check and balance mm-hmm. of the program given what they are required to do and what they're responsible for doing. But the point he kept making to me, because it does raise, we are in a different environment.
Exactly.
Right? This mm-hmm. is a different environment. And so the point that I think I heard him say was that they are not going out and trying to be ICE agents. They're not going out to find people who might not be here legally.
And how do, I guess, I mean, I'm probably asking a question that we all know the answer to. How do we get the public to understand the difference here?
Right. So this is why I did this interview with him. And he, you know, he's like, I want people to know this because he knows there's a lot of misperceptions and concerns and people who are here legally. But might get stereotyped as to who they are. And so he, in my conversation with them, there was an effort to try to get people to understand this. And I have talked to I talked to the woman who heads up the Casa Guadalupe Multicultural Center up there. Mm-hmm. So we did a story about it last week. Sheriff wasn't available. He was available this week. And so she understandably has concerns about what does this mean? What it's going to do? And so it's getting people to understand what these agreements do and what they don't do.
I'm really glad that you're reporting on that, Charles. That's so important.
Really?
And you know, Waukesha County, I'm familiar. They have an ICE detention area in their jail, huge jail. But I didn't know about Washington County. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, maybe the dairy farmers are going to be affected. But this is giving more education to our deputies, to our law enforcement. So that makes me feel.
Yeah.
And to our public.
And to the public, which is really key in this moment. And like I said, when I look at some of these agreements that I just read to you, most of them were signed in 2020. They've had these agreements for a while. Washington County just initially did this in February or March of this year. And so we're going to do some more reporting on it tomorrow, more of the interview that I did with the sheriff out there in Washington County. And I think that, by the way, if you want to, you can. This is all online. You mm-hmm. know, the Delegation of Immigration Authority, this 287G, if you want to, like, I'm going to Google that. What is this? What is Charles telling me about? And you can go see it. You can go see which counties have it, which states have it within their law enforcement. And you yourself then can draw your conclusion about what this means.
And right now, 13 out of 72 in
counties.
Wisconsin. Yep. Interesting. He's Charles Benson, the best in the business.
The best.
National political correspondent for Scripps News and senior political reporter for TMJ4.
A lot of fancy titles, but I'm just the guy. News guy.
He's very active on Twitter.
No, I'm not.
A little bit.
A little, but not a lot.
Well, I have my notifications on every time.
Sure, right. Which
it's not. It isn't very.
You're not getting a lot.
He gets. Well, you'll tweet out this, I promise. It'll be great. And you can also go on TMJ4.com and see his latest updates and watch Channel 4. All right.
Appreciate
Charles,
it.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. I can't believe I'm saying that, but yes.
Yes.
Watch Channel 4.
He is Chief Meteorologist Brian Nisnansky. Nis, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Julia. Toya, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you? I'm sorry about the drive-by waving and screaming right before you were supposed to go on. I was like one of those people back when I used to do live shots and people were like screaming, yeah. Hey, Brian. I did that exact same thing. He was in our neighborhood last week doing weather live. Yeah, from a neighbor's backyard.
It was cool. Yeah, no, it was super fun. It was good seeing you, but you're right. I was like, oh. You know, just another one of those fans. No, it's Toya, Washington.
Just driving by.
No, we were out in Toya's neighborhood. One of her neighbors won at an auction. We'll auction off to various organizations, a storm chaser experience where we'll do a front yard forecast. And proceeds to that auction went to the Ronald McDonald House. So that was an easy one to do and be happy and proud to be part of it.
How elaborate was that backyard, Brian?
Oh, they did good. Yeah, there's some good landscaping going on over there at that house. They had kind of a natural little meadow feel to it. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, we've had a number of different versions of these front yard forecasts. That's what's great. I mean, you got kind of more of a meadow view on that one. We had an awesome block party in Whitefish Bay.
I had
like a barbecue that was, I think it was like technically Newburgh. They had like, I don't know, like a million kids over, and they literally just had like a party that you would think you would have for the 4th of July in the backyard. So it's always
awesome.
A lot of fun.
Oh, that's fun.
Give me a heads up the next time just so that I can show up and not look like such a fool driving by and screaming your name.
I was about to come crash your house. I was going to come. Hey, here's where the party is.
We were there, and I've always got beer in the cooler.
Okay. What's if that? I didn't have to do the 10, I would have been there.
No kidding.
I won't tell if you won't tell, Brian.
Hey, Brian, what's the average temperature supposed to be in Milwaukee right now?
It's going to be middle 60s. Let me get the exact middle to upper 60s. I have that. I got my sheet if you're on watching the YouTube right now. Here we go. We got October 2nd, 67 is the average high.
Oh, wow.
So we're warmer than that. And then tomorrow we're going to be maybe 20 degrees warmer than that. Some incredible warm weather on the way starting tomorrow.
We're going to go to your pool, Toya.
Who said I had a pool?
If there's someone out there who does have a pool, if you haven't winterized, you're going to love this weekend forecast. I could see some spots inland. I mean, and there's really not going to be much of an influence from Lake Michigan. I could even see here in Milwaukee, there's like an outside chance we get close to 90 degrees on Saturday.
Wow.
Now, I'm really cautious to say that because we have never officially hit 90 degrees in Milwaukee in the month of October. It's just incredibly hard to do this time of year. You just don't have – the days are so short, right, compared to like July. You need an extremely warm air mass overhead to kind of offset the shorter amount of daylight to get 90 degrees.
Holy smokes.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Crazy town. Yeah. All right. I need one of your specialty forecasts just because we'll be actually in the North Shore area playing soccer on Sunday.
Okay. You are?
So, yes.
Shower? Oh,
not
no.
me. I'm too old for that. My knees are shot.
Warm.
I mean, I can do the indoor stuff, but the big fields, forget about it. But, yes, warm on Sunday evening. Is that what I'm gathering?
Yeah, Sunday still looks warm. Yeah. There's going to be a couple showers to the north of us Sunday. I think they stay north of the area. I'm going dry on Sunday. But, yes, I think even... along the North Shore, I suppose if you're like within a half a mile of the water, you're going to be a little bit cooler, but I'm not seeing much of a cooling influence. It's likely going to be in the 80s there. We're in Sheboygan for soccer Sunday afternoon. Is that where you are? Or are you going to be farther south?
We're in Cedarburg area.
Okay. Oh, nice. North Shore United, you playing against? Yeah.
Yep.
How fun.
Yep. How'd you know?
That's so fun.
Oh, he's into
that's
it.
Where my girls play North Shore United. So we go up to Lakeshore United on Sunday. We're playing against, up in Sheboygan.
Like, we tell everybody all of our business. They're like, just tell me the weather, guys. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Brian, take us home with the 5-day.
Yeah, totally. We're looking at warm conditions for everybody on Friday. Sunny and very warm, a high of 86. Saturday, mostly sunny, very warm and humid, a high of 88. Sunday, partly cloudy and breezy, 85. And then Monday, the changes, mostly cloudy, rain likely on Monday, high temperature of 72 degrees. I know there's fall lovers out there ready to rock the flannels. They want to get their fall swag going. Don't worry, your time is coming. Enjoy the summer weather while we have it.
He is the best meteorologist in the state of Wisconsin. Chief Meteorologist Brian Osnanski.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Julie. I can tell Toya's like, wait a second. I got my allegiance to my guy, Mark Baden. That's okay. I like Mark, too.
Look, I like both you guys. So there you go.
Brian is the best.
All good.
I'll say it. I love Mark, too. All right. Thanks,
cheers.
Brian.
See you guys.
This is super cool.
Really
at 3:49. I know.
I mean, we are only 49 minutes into the day here, the two of us, and I'm already just so energized and pumped. And
dazzled.
It just keeps getting bigger and better.
I know. Okay, so we have with us a national award winner. It's a great high school trades teachers. It supports classes, recognizes their hard work. It's called the Harbor Freight Tools for Schools Prize. So we will now meet the Milwaukee teacher turning wrenches and heads, Bayview's High School's Michael Driscoll, fresh off of winning $100,000 for his Powerhouse Tech program. So we'll talk shop, student success, and the future of skilled trades. Thank you so much for joining us.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. So, okay. Were you surprised?
Very surprised.
And that $100,000, do you get it or does the school?
I do not get it. It all goes to the school. So the good news is I get to help decide how that money is spent.
Okay. All right. I want to talk about the AI chatbot that you created. That may have caught a lot of eyes with the application. Mr. D, that's like a little mini you.
It's the mini me, yeah.
So how does it work?
Well, I used a program online to train a chatbot with a bunch of different conversations that I wrote. I wrote potential responses I would give to different things that students might say. And I give it a whole bunch of those. And then it sets up as like a little me. So it has a sense of humor. It is sarcastic, but it also like is really accurate. And it actually sometimes does a better job explaining things than I do.
We're not replacing anybody with AI, but that's funny that you say that.
Yeah.
Wow. So the students in your program, they've also been selected for the We Energies Youth Apprenticeship Program for two consecutive years. What does that mean for your students?
So the We Energies program is really, really awesome. I love all the programs that are in Milwaukee that offer students the possibility to get career training before they graduate or even right after they graduate, get some experience so they can get their foot in the door. We actually had a discussion this morning with another student who I think would be great for it. And I said, hey, come to me tomorrow and I'll start writing your application letter with you so that you have that recommendation. And he's like, really? And I was like, yeah, you're going to be the next one. We're going to do three in a row. So
that's awesome. So you are exceptional, according to the award, with impact in skilled trades education. Is that the future skilled trades, do you think, in Wisconsin?
I mean, I think any thing where students are making something as opposed to just listening to something is the future of education. I think there's no way to replace somebody being able to like fix a sink or wire an electrical outlet, at least not easily. And so I think those jobs are going to stay with us for a long time, and they definitely need teachers to teach those things.
All right. That leads us to how are you going to spend the $100,000?
So we have this awesome, huge amount of space at our school. We're very lucky to have all of these different rooms. But that is also an issue because I'm one person and it's hard to be in two places at once. And so a lot of the times it would be really nice to have the opportunity to have some kids working on the computers and some kids working in the workshop using tools and that kind of thing. And it's really hard to do right now because I'm having to kind of run back and forth and make sure everybody's safe and put pause on certain people. And what we're hoping to do with the money is hire somebody to be a full-time lab tech. So if anybody's listening and you have woodworking skills, know about different types of machines and also have skills in the areas of like 3D printing, laser cutting, CNC, that kind of thing, and you're looking for a part-time job, we definitely looking for you. So contact Bayview High School.
I know. I did not do a deep dive on who you are, but I guess can you tell me in your time of teaching, have you seen an increase in students being interested in this field and wanting to learn more? And I would also secondarily ask, because I feel like I went to a small private school in Minneapolis in high school. We didn't teach anything of the trades. So everything I learned, I had to figure it out trial and error. And I would say, looking back, I wish I had programs like this. I did up until going to private school. Can you kind of discuss that?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the amazing things is the fact that we have this opportunity at our school. Not all schools, even within MPS, have this opportunity. There was a weird shift right after I was sort of done with high school where they started to move away from skilled trades and then they just decided that those programs needed to be closed or there would be a teacher that would retire and they didn't have anybody to replace them. And so we're hoping more teachers, you know, or people who have these skills sort of go into teaching so we have more of these programs. But kids respond differently to a program where you get to make something. whether you're, you know, building a wall or you're building something small, like we're making light switch covers right now in the class, and they're learning engineering software to do that. Those things translate to practical skills in any area. Doesn't matter what you're doing. So, like, yeah, you need to be able to read and write, but you also need to be able to, like, think creatively, problem solve, troubleshoot an issue. And I think those are the sort of things that we teach. And some of the kids don't do well sitting and listening, but they do really well. Those same kids that are struggling with that skill do an amazing job being moving around in a workshop. And if I tell them, hey, we're going to do this and this, and don't forget about these safety things, mm-hmm. those are the kids that make sure the other kids are safe. And they're really the ones that are pushing further than the kids that do well, you know, in that sort of more traditional academic sense.
Oh, and I would assume a lot of that is transferable. So once they 100%. Find that spark, once they are in your more traditional history class, science class, whatever, they tend to improve grades on that side once you have something that has sparked their interest on what's in their lane.
We have a program at our school called NAF Academy. And one of the things that we do within that is that they keep data on the students that graduate with CTE, which is what I teach, compared to the students that don't track in CTE. And overwhelmingly, more of them graduate on time, more of them have higher grades, and it's because we're feeding a need that, you know, doesn't currently exist any other way.
That's incredible. Wow, I can tell that you love teaching, and you deserve this. Bayview High School's Michael Driscoll, fresh off winning $100,000.
For his school.
For his school. Yes, he's not taking it. He's going to help hire somebody else.
That's awesome. Awesome.
The Harbor Freight Tools for Schools Prize, national award. Fantastic.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for teaching us the next generation. Boy, is he fantastic. We covered so much on Wisconsin's Afternoon News today with Toya Washington by my side, my partner in crime this entire show. So in the 3 o'clock hour, we had Milwaukee Police Public Information Officer Sergeant Efrain Cornejo. He actually broke the news that there is going to be a run at Cudahy High School this weekend, this Sunday, October 5th, at 9 o'clock in the morning to remember Officer Quarter. He was killed in the line of duty. Officer Quarter graduated from Cudahy High School. So you can text WAN. WAN stands for Wisconsin's Afternoon News to 855-616-1620. WAN to our setting limited talk and text line. It'll take you right to that conversation. We also interviewed an actor who's in Mrs. Doubtfire, the musical that's at the Marcus. Oh my goodness. What an exciting interview. And also what the dating trend Shrekking means. You can listen to all that if you text the word WAN.